We've been talking a lot about Penn State and the ripple effects from the sex scandal rocking that community. We spoke, we heard this week from the former Penn State assistant football coach Jerry Sandusky. He finally responded to charges that he sexually abused some young boys. He denies those allegations. Many of the alleged victims came from Sandusky's Second Mile Foundation. It's a program that he started for at-risk youth. And our next guest actually was part of the Second Mile Foundation when he was younger. Now he's an Iraq War veteran and a Penn State grad. And he writes about losing faith in the leaders from his parents' generation. Good morning, Thomas Day.
Good morning, Celeste.
First, let's start with your experiences in the Second Mile Foundation, because you, you describe yourself as one of the lucky ones. Nothing happened to you, but why this sort of agonizing now over your experiences then?
Well, I mean, first of all, you're right. I had a very, very good experience with the Second Mile. You know, they took me in when I was 15 years old. I wasn't particularly doing well in school. You know, I was socially, I wasn't very confident. And I got involved with a program called the Second Mile Friend Fitness Program, which is a lot like the Big Brother, Big Sister program, where they, you know, they take me and you know, we work out at a gym twice a week. You know, and as I found out that, you know, as I built whatever limited physical strength I have, I was gaining confidence and I was doing better in school. And, you know, I finished high school, I moved on and became a mentor in the program. And, you know, I did things I never thought I could do, drawing on the lessons I learned from the Second Mile. You know, I served in enlistment with the 101st Airborne Division, and now I'm working on my second master's degree. You know, I never thought I could do these kinds of things, you know, when I was 15, when I first joined the Second Mile.
So for you, Second Mile turned out to do exactly what it was intended to do.
Absolutely.
And so I'm wondering what your reaction was. I mean, how did you feel that very first moment when you heard the allegations about Jerry Sandusky?
Well, it's almost indescribable what I felt. You know, I had every emotion in the book when I read the grand jury indictment, which was just the most awful thing, you know, I've ever read in my life. I'm confused. I don't know how this happened, if it did happen. Of course, Coach Sandusky will have his day in court, but, you know, it's a difficult thing to wrap your head around that an organization so good as a Second Mile could be founded by, you know, a man who potentially could be a monster.
So how does this lead, this horror over the actions or alleged actions of a man that you really looked up to growing up, how does that lead to a loss of faith in your parents' generation? I mean, is it perhaps unfair to blame that entire generation?
Yeah, well, this is the kind of the thing that I'm trying to clarify. I did not intend to blame an entire generation, quote unquote. You know, what I'm trying to say is that the leaders of my parents' generation, you know, to separating them from the entire generation, have not performed, you know, up to the expectations of my grandparents' generation, their parents' generation. I worked for General David Petraeus. I know there are outstanding leaders in my parents' generation, but my parents' generation, the leaders of my parents' generation, don't appear to be moving public opinion in the way that you know, we can do the kinds of things as you know, one collective body that can make America great again. And part of the reason is that young folks of my generation don't have a whole lot of faith in the leaders. And for me, this situation with my local community back home in State College, Pennsylvania, kind of encapsulates that. Joe Paterno and Jerry Sandusky were by far the two most revered leaders in my community. And this week we came to find out that, you know, well, we all found out what we found out. And that was tremendously disappointing to me.
We're speaking with Thomas Day, who was actually part of the Second Mile Foundation as a kid, now an Iraq War veteran and a Penn State grad. You know, Thomas, you connect this sort of loss of faith. It sounds to me like the feeling of disappointment and disillusionment after the announcement of the allegations against Jerry Sandusky seem to have also been echoed over your feelings of disappointment after the American reaction to 9/11. They seem to have been echoed in what you're seeing going on in Congress, where they can't seem to compromise at all. What is this connection that you make to that I guess it links into your loss of faith? What is this connection that you make in this overall leadership of those who are in Congress and around the country?
Well, I mean, I think you said it. I mean, it's just an overall, disappointment. I just can't imagine, with all I've read about, my grandparents' generation and how they emerged from World War II and with their bare hands, built this country, acting in this kind of a way. And there's some nuance here. Of course, Coach Paterno is a member of the Greatest Generation, so maybe there's an inconsistency there. But the leaders in Congress largely come from my parents' generation, and now they have an 8% approval rating. That is not how the Greatest Generation performed when they were on the biggest stage.
Well, let me ask you, Thomas Day is a Penn State grad, was part of the Second Mile Foundation that Jerry Sandusky founded. Let me ask you, your basic message, and I'm going to just kind of quote here, is all due respect to our elders, but get out of our way for those of the current generation between, say, 25 and 35. So what specifically, let's say that you become a leader of the future, or maybe even a congressperson or a senator, what specifically would you do differently?
Well, I'd certainly learn to compromise. Let's look at Washington. It certainly appears right now that the leaders in Congress, and in my opinion, more so the Republican than the Democratic Party, are more geared toward appeasing their base, appeasing their party before building a body of accomplishment and advancing a progressive agenda. And, hey, I don't know if I'll get into politics. We'll see. I'm in a public policy school right now, but if ever I am a leader of any community, I will A, number one, work to advance the interests of all the people I'd be representing, not any particular constituency, everybody.
Well, we want to put a call out to our listeners now, listening to Thomas Day, especially if you're between the ages of 25 to 35. Do you share this sort of this disillusionment, this loss of faith in your parents' generation? And what would you do to change it? Thomas Day, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
A Iraq War veteran, a Penn State grad, and also a graduate of the Second Mile Foundation program that was founded by Jerry Sandusky. And again, we want to get your responses as well. You can give us a call at 877-8-MY-TAKE, or you can post your comment at thetakeaway.org. Something else we want to hear from you on is a conversation we had earlier with Norm Stamper, former Seattle police chief. And we asked him, how does law enforcement feel towards the Occupy Wall Street protesters?
There are some police officers who truly do appreciate the fact that they're part of the 99%. And then there are others who have a real problem with people who break the law. And from their point of view, if you're camping in a public park overnight, you're breaking the law. So it's a difficult question to answer. I would say largely that the police are ambivalent.
What do you think? The police response to Occupy Wall Street, appropriate or not? 877-8-MY-TAKE. I'm Celeste Headlee. John Hockenberry is out today. This is The Takeaway.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.